Okay, so we have all three subcommittee members, and most of your technical and support staff here. I do understand that Mr. Ryan Gordon will be joining us as soon as he can, and it could be by phone. So let's launch this off. It's the February 15th, 2023 Forestry Program for Oregon Subcommittee. My name is Hillary Olivos-Rood, Board Administrator. Now shifting it to our facilitator for this meeting.
Thanks, Hillary. Good morning, everybody. Robin Harkless with the Oregon Consensus. We'll just do a quick roll call and then I'll quickly go over the agenda for this short 1 hour meeting and then we'll get underway. So I'll just start with the squares and call on you and you can introduce yourself. Ben?
Ben Doimling, a board member.
Thank you. Joe?
Morning, Joe Justice, board member.
Brenda?
Brenda McComb, board member.
Danny.
Good morning. I'm Dan Norlander with ODF.
John.
John DeKarzik, Oregon Department of Forestry.
Ryan.
Ryan Greco, Oregon Department of Forestry.
Welcome, Ryan. We'll do a little intro in a moment with you. Want to welcome you to the group. And Carolina.
Good morning. I'm Carolina Martins with Oregon Consensus.
Thank you. Welcome to the FPFO subcommittee. We've expanded our team, and actually, we're missing two of our teammates, Mike Wilson and Ryan Gordon. So, on the agency side, we've got a couple of additional leadership members who are part of this group. Also want to invite Ryan Greco to introduce yourself a little bit more as the newest member of the subcommittee. So just kind of what perspective you're bringing for the department.
Sure. So Mike Wilson asked me to be a field representative on the subcommittee. I started with Department of Forestry in 2004 in Coos Bay and worked in our state lands program for 12 years and currently work in the forest resource program, also participate in the fire program.
Great. Thank you so much for joining. And we'll have a couple of invited guests here in a moment from Oregon Kitchen Table. They're not on the panel side yet, but we'll invite them over when.
Robin, can I ask a question of Ryan? Ryan, what is your current job with ODF? Are you a stewardship forester in Forest Resource?
Good question. I'm the unit forester slash unit manager in Coos Bay, overseeing the Coos
Okay.
Bay and Brookings offices.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
And welcome, Wendy. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. Good morning. I'm Wendy Willis. I'm the director of Oregon's Kitchen Table.
Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here with you.
All right, so just a quick review of the agenda. This has been posted to the web page that's designated to this project, but just as a quick reminder, we've got a short window every month to work with the subcommittee to advance the development of the forestry program for Oregon. The purpose of the subcommittee is a collaborative work forum for the board and agency leadership to advance efforts to jointly develop a modern forestry program for Oregon. The subcommittee has committed to serve until completion of the FPFO, generally targeted for December 2023. And at the end of the call today, we'll walk through what is the current work plan. This is always sort of a little bit live, so we can make updates to it over time. But there's a general sketch of sort of how we'll be progressing through this work over the next year and kind of what our end goal is for this calendar year that we'll talk through at the end of today's call. But first, we want to spend some time on content development. We have two items on the agenda. I'm actually going to flip the order of those. One being initiating development of goal themes. The subcommittee has been sent some information in advance, and we really want to start to kind of think through how to establish those goal themes And we'll have a couple of subcommittee meetings to prepare some of that content work that we'll then take to the board meeting, which will be a retreat in April. So we've got a little bit of time, but not a lot of time to try to get a pen to paper on that piece. And it'll all be in draft form. It's an iterative process that we always want to cycle through the board meetings and have the kind of broader board and executive team of the department really kind of getting their eyes on it and helping to refine those components as we go. But really the center of gravity and kind of the steering body of this is this subcommittee. So I just want to acknowledge and appreciate the voluntary efforts of this group putting in extra time to make this happen. And then the other piece we'll talk about is the beginning of a community engagement effort. We've been talking about doing this, and we've heard from Oregon's Kitchen Table. We've heard a little bit about the scope of this. Wendy's here to talk today about, and our colleague Sarah, who we'll introduce in just a moment, to talk about what that plan is going to look like and really how it should intersect or could intersect the ask for an intersection with the subcommittee to evolve that work over time as well. And then I hope that we have some time for some quick updates from ODF, anything that came from the executive team this week, any updates on the 20-year strategy efforts that are relevant to this FPFO work, and then to just touch on the staff report agenda item for the FPFO at the March board meeting, which will be a quick one, but we'll want to talk about what Ryan will plan to present there. And then to wrap up, like I said, we will look at the process work plan, kind of gear up for our March subcommittee meeting, which is will be held March 15th, and then talk about how we'll continue to update the FPFO draft, like who's going to hold the pen to do that. Right now, we've got ODF staff who are willing to sort of make those updates as we go. So I think that's more than plenty for the short hour that we have together. And so I think let's launch, unless there are any specific questions about the agenda. And I'd also like to welcome in with some introductions, Ryan and Sarah. Let's start there. Ryan, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Ryan Gordon. I serve as the planning branch director and apologize for being late this morning. I had to get up to Forest Grove and it was a little slower than I thought.
We're glad you're here. Thanks. And Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah Giles with Oregon's Kitchen Table. I work with Wendy and glad to be here. Sorry, I was having a little trouble getting in on the Zoom.
We're glad you're here. Thank you, Sarah. All right. Any quick questions or comments on the agenda for today? Okay. So let's actually start with the goal themes piece. And Danny, I might ask you to quickly kick this off just because you had organized some material that had been developed previously that might help support the start of this conversation. And then Brenda, I'll invite you in to share sort of you had done a review of some of that material and had some thoughts. So let's start with you, Danny, just to tee this up.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. Again, Danny Norlander. So going back to October when we did all the post-it notes on the concrete wall there, took all that down and we went back and kind of organized it all into different groupings. And that was presented as a staff report, parts of it were presented as a staff report back in November. And then we provided actually a more detailed kind of breakout of that with the materials for today. To follow up on that, we took the presentation materials and the data from the Oregon Values and Beliefs presentation from the last board meeting and kind of compared what the board and the executive team put down as their kind of primary interests and values and what the OVBC stuff was and compared the two. And if you look at the materials for today, that's what's shown on page 3 is kind of just a visual of how the two line up. So what we did was, so we can walk through each of these. So we looked at whether the The first section there is what was done in October. So we looked in and kind of determined if the post-it note was a principle, strategy slash goal, or a value. And those are, formatting is a little weird on that one. But they are, they're, let me
see. Danny, do you have a better version that you want to pop up, or should we just work with what we've got here? I think this.
I have the same one, but it's not, it's just displaying weird on your screen.
Okay.
So I can share mine if you want.
That'd be great. Do you all remember doing the values conversation in October? Okay. At least Ben does. I saw it there.
So there, it was kind of split between principles and strategies and then values, about 50-50. And then we looked and had some kind of large groupings. So whether things would fall into climate smart forestry and how that looked. So those post-it notes, whether they were adaptation, whether they focused on communities, the economy, or mitigation. A lot of it was adaptation, and then the rest were kind of split somewhat evenly. After that, we really looked at to see if those were either forest-centric values or principles or strategies, or if they were human-centric. And a lot of what got put up seemed to be more human-centric than it was forest-centric. And then after that, we started breaking it down into more specifics. I mean, I did that in kind of two different levels. So the first one, kind of these broad categories of air, climate change, communities, economic ones, ecosystem services, just kind of ecosystems holistically, and then water. And then we looked at it a little bit more specifically within those. So adaptation, carbon sequestration, clean air. I won't go through this whole list, but it kind of shows where the focus was. So then we took those specific ones and compared those to what the values and beliefs center came up with. And that's what is shown in this one. So what kind of crosswalked what the values and beliefs center top questions that they presented were. So those nine top things that they kind of had percentages for, and then what the board and ET values conversation looked like. So the values and beliefs ones are kind of ranked based on the percentage of agreement that they had, and then the board and ET ones where they would align with that. So what we saw was that, you know, habitat and water quality were pretty high for both of those, and then there's kind of this split where you get the values and beliefs looking at ecosystem services and recreation and cultural values. And then the board put carbon sequestration, jobs, and economic factors next. So kind of just a visual way to look at them and compare them. And hopefully to kind of spur some imagination on how we can start thinking about themes moving, goal themes moving forward. That's pretty much what I have, if Brenda wanted to take over with what she had.
Thanks, Danny. All I did was take what you had done. Thank you for pulling everything together and just put some numbers to it. And the outcome, what you've demonstrated with your chart and the correlation that I ran, is that the Oregon Values and Belief Center's ranks are almost completely unrelated, with a few exceptions, to those for the Board of Forestry and EET. And so my conclusion from that is that the Board of Forestry and the executive team do not necessarily reflect the broader social values of all Oregonians across the state. And we need to be very careful and cognizant of that as we go about developing our goals. And one thing that we might want to think about, Robin, is not ranking goals, because I think if we do, we get into this problem of being very inconsistent between what we do and what Oregonians believe.
Thanks, Brenda. Let me check with the other board members. Did you have a chance to look through this, and was there any sense making that you were trying to do, or even as you've just heard Danny kind of go through this, thoughts at this point?
I'll chime in first. I haven't really looked at this in great detail. I agree with Brenda. It's kind of hard to interpret what we mean, what this all means. I think that's another way of saying what Brenda said. I do agree it is hard and somewhat not surprising that we see a different result. I think we need to consider it. But I do agree with Brenda. We do have to be somewhat careful of rankings. I think these are all important goals. But I do think ranking is I think it's worthwhile to look at. But I think it's something that we do need to be cautious of, because it may, I'll just say that.
I'm with Joe that I haven't had too much time to sort of dig into what Danny presented. That was a fantastic summary. I really appreciate what you've put into the work you put into that, Danny. And I think following on what Joe and Brenda said, the dichotomy between the board, the folks in this room and the general public is one I struggle with. And I say this, what I'm about to say, with a lot of caution and trepidation, but there's an education and knowledge component that I think we can't ignore, that we were all put here, whether as staff at the department or on the board, because we have an expertise in this area. And I don't want to rely on that, but I don't want to lose track of that either. And the Oregon Values and Belief Center checked in with random Oregonians who may or may not have any backgrounds in forestry. And I'm not sure how to weigh that, but that carries some weight in this, because we're here as the experts and might have a better understanding of carbon cycling in a forest than the general public. I'm just putting that out there. I think I'll leave it at that for now. I'm struggling with just how to balance those sort of competing sets of ideals.
Danny?
Yeah, I was just going to remind all of us, I think, that the Values and Beliefs presentation was really helpful in that they did ask when people didn't know, and that wasn't taken into account in any of the work that I did. So we can look more at that, to kind of look at that education side of things and kind of see where things may need to become more robust.
Yeah, Danny, I think that's a great point. I think that was one of the really strong aspects of that Oregon Values and Beliefs survey, was that very question where people don't know. Because I think it's broadly known. I've worked in this industry my whole career, and I'm always surprised at how little Oregonians often know about our industry. You know, even that we have, for instance, laws that require reforestation. There's a lot of people that don't even understand that, you know, kind of fundamental law that we have in Oregon. So I think that I think somehow you need to weave that back into this information. I mean, I know you haven't really done that here, and that's a little difficult weave to weave back in, but I would encourage you, because I think that is really somewhat informative and gets at what Ben is saying, which you made a great point, Ben. But I think it gets there. Yeah.
Okay, Ryan and Brenda.
Yeah, I was also just going to mentioned that I think, you know, clearly we have more work to do here, and the opportunity to look at even a broader swath of values. And that's the point of our engagement with Oregon Kitchen Table, which I know we're going to talk about more later. And then the other thing I was just thinking as I was listening to this really good conversation is, you know, we also should probably strive to look at representative values. So we look at, you know, the ranking is one way of looking through them, but also trying to be representative and having kind of a little bit of everything to the extent possible, right? If you choose everything, you've chosen nothing. I get that, but trying to better understand sort of the spectrum and including as much of it as we can.
Brenda?
Yeah, thank you. I think Ben makes a really good point about differences in knowledge among all the people who were surveyed, both OVBC and our group. But I think there's a difference between having a value and having knowledge about that value. People can have values with or without a certain level of knowledge. They may change those values if that knowledge changes, or they may not. And I think we just need to take the values at, sorry about the pun, but take the values at face value and work with that, recognizing that over time, those values may change if more information is provided.
Yeah. Danny, if I may, I'm just going to quickly interject on a couple points. One is, I want to reflect back from the October retreat about this idea of trying to rank values, which is never a good idea. We don't have competing, you don't have to have one value is more important than the other. And so I want to just sort of anchor us into this conversation in a way that hopefully is useful, that kind of is reflective of what you've all observed so far, which is this was a starting place to make sure, I think, to say, let's make sure that we're looking at the array of values that Oregonians and we have for the forests. And let's make sure that we somehow tend to those as we're developing goals. Goals are different than values, right? So the goals are the foundation for the actions that you're going to take. The values are something that should be reflective of what your overall outcomes are for the forest. And so we don't want to conflate too much these two pieces. But I think what Danny was trying to do is what you've got so far is this array of values that you all sort of came up with in your brainstorming. And again, the caveat there was you all recognized that that was an initial brainstorm, that you yourselves weren't done thinking through and identifying various values. And so part of the exercise of community engagement and this OVBC survey is really to sort of expand the view and the kind of complete the picture of where folks value the forest. But it's not necessarily going to be the thing that that's going to help inform how you establish goals. So I think for today, what we're trying to do is let's look to see what a starting place is for a suite of themes that will tend to those values that you're hearing about. And so there's a lot of different ways that you've categorized this, Danny, and I just wonder if there's like a starting place for us to start to anchor into what those themes might be.
That was going to be my question for everyone else. If I had raised my hand.
Great.
Some of it depends on how many goals you want to have. My point of view is like 5 would be good. I'll share my screen again. So we've kind of been keeping going back to this Minnesota plan or conservation agenda that they have. And I have their okay. So can you see the should say goal 1, 2, 3, 4? So they had 4 goals within that. Again, they're a DNR, so it's gonna be different than what we would have as ODF. But you can kind of see where we can start pulling things into these more specific goals. So, they had conservation and recreation, economy, and operational excellence. So that last one there is really more specific to that agency. I think that we will have the same kind of goal, attempt at ODF is to have one that's more operational for, our field staff and our Salem staff as well. And then other goals that would align with the what we've been talking about today in October and back to the January meeting. I'm curious if anyone kind of sees some specific goals that we can, themes that we could start pulling out to have those more specific things and have start looking at how those align.
Go ahead, Brenda.
Thank you. So, Danny, would you mind putting that back up again, the Minnesota thing? Because I think it's good to have like four or five goals that we want to focus on. But then if we took what you did in terms of collating the information both from our retreat as well as from OVBC, then how would we bucket those into four or five goal themes? And, you know, one that strikes me is contributing to regional log supply or something along those lines, some economic focus. Another might be sequestering and storing carbon at an increasing rate. And another one might be, you know, biodiversity conservation. Another one might be clean water. I don't know how you want to bucket those, but it seems like we need to somehow crosswalk what you've done with four or five of these large themes as represented here from Minnesota.
Ben, and maybe let's look at that list again, Danny.
Yeah.
You
can keep that up on the screen. That'd be really useful. Something that I've thought of, I've been trying to think about a goal that can kind of, if we're going to have four or five goals, which I think is great, I think five goals is a great target. Those goals are going to be going to encompass a lot. And something that I've been mulling over, and maybe this is too high level, maybe this is more vision values than a goal, but I've been thinking about access and wanting to have forests that are accessible. And I think accessible forests means accessible, in my mind, means accessible to a lot of different things. Accessible to work, which means we're logging and operating in them. Accessible for recreation, accessible for resources to gather mushrooms and boughs and first foods, and accessible for wildlife and habitat. And I think I've been thinking about accessibility of the forest sort of possibly as a goal that sort of encompasses a number of these different values and ideas that we've been talking about. I don't know if that's a useful way of looking at it or not, but that's something that I was mulling over.
I wonder, Ben, I'm going to jump on to that. This kind of came to me. We continue to talk about this term resilient, but do you have an overarching goal of resilient forests that you begin to put some of those things that you just mentioned inside? Access, yeah. Recreation, that we want these resilient forests. Is that a goal? I'm not saying that's a good idea. That's just kind of where my mind went when you said that, Ben. I thought, well, maybe we're talking about resilience of a forest that brings these things forward. But I'll just add, I do agree with Brenda. I think an economic theme, I think absolutely needs to be one of them. I think the board has talked about carbon a lot. And I think a carbon theme probably needs to be, within that conservation theme. And then I do like the idea of having a theme related to, I think in the Minnesota one, talk about operational excellence, which then gets into, I don't know how we title that theme, but that gets into actual work, fire, forest practice regulation, the work, the day-to-day operations that the department does, because a major goal of the department is fire protection for the state of Oregon. And I think that has to be somewhere, and maybe that's in one of those buckets. So I think I've said enough. Thanks.
That's great. Thank you, Joe. Brenda and Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, Joe and Ben, for those ideas. The way I picture it is a kind of a precursor statement to our goal statements. And the precursor statement might read something like, the following goals were developed to promote accessibility and resilience in our state's forests. And then we talk about carbon sequestration, contributing to log markets, biodiversity conservation, whatever the other theme, operational issues that you mentioned, Joe.
Ryan?
Yeah, I didn't want to stand in the way of kind of the resource-focused discussion for goals, but I do kind of want to put a stake in the idea of having one related to organizational excellence or management, et cetera. I'm kind of scribbling down in my notes here, you know, contained within that, thinking about how we engage different communities, transparency, in addition to the way we operate as an agency and some of the values that we hold for our staff, et cetera. And that's something that I would be more than happy to work with the executive team to help flesh out. And we could start talking about that actually at our March meeting. And I do like the idea of about five goals, thinking about one of them being around the organization and the other four, hopefully in some way spanning this kind of resource, the resource issues that have been discussed here.
Okay. So real quick, just a kind of umbrella concepts around resilient forests, accessibility. But I'm hearing that we're starting to articulate maybe some theme areas, goal areas. There's an economic one, a carbon one, conservation, operational excellence. Brenda, you mentioned water quality. So I want to just check in with the folk, with the group on that. Do you see that as a distinct theme? And Brenda, maybe you can kick off with a response and see what others have to say about that one.
Well, I think if we so two things, I guess. One is we go back to the OVBC data, habitat and water quality came out on top. Is it possible to combine those? Yeah, probably, although water quality contributes to human health as well as the health of other species. Biodiversity conservation is kind of encompassed within habitat. So those could be lumped or they could be separated. But the other piece about water quality is that it does accentuate the potential for collaboration and coordination with ODFW, DEQ, and some of the other state agencies around water at OWEB.
Okay. Sorry, Danny, if I could just check in with others on this idea, and then I'll come back around to you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. Water quality is, I could see it. I would tend to think to lump it into conservation, biodiversity. That's what I would, because I'm more of a lumper, not a splitter. And to try to, you know, to not make the document too big, but I could be convinced otherwise on water quality, to be honest. I think that may be something to bring, a question to bring back to the board as a whole. And I don't know, it's a balance between having this document get so large and so, you know, wieldy, when water, you know, water quality does fit into a bucket, but it is at the same time a pretty specific thing too, that's really important. You know, does it rise to a theme, you know, to one of those overarching, maybe. I don't know. I had to think about that.
My tendency would be to lump it in with a larger theme. I think I share the sentiments here. If we single water quality out, I think we're going to have to start singling out a whole bunch of other ones. And then we have 12, which I think hopefully we can structure this in a way that water quality is very clearly called out as a key element of one of our themed goals. But I'm not, that's just my first take at it.
And while you have the mic, Ben, you mentioned recreation. Do you see that showing up in these themes?
I mean, it's in communities, it's in, you know, it's service, ecosystem services, it's in there. I don't know. I'm staring at this list that Danny's put together that's on the screen here. And I feel like there's a couple of different ways we could break these themes out. And I'm not quite, come back to me.
Okay. Brenda and Actually, Danny, I'm going to leap over to you first. Go ahead. I know your hand's been up for a while.
I was just going to kind of remind people that the template that we've been working off of has those goals, and then underneath those are strategies. So you could kind of contemplate if, you know, we have these overarching goals, are some of the things that we're talking about, do those fit into those strategies, which are more specific? So like if we're talking about accessibility, one of those could be recreation accessibility, one of those could be fire accessibility, one of those could be, you know, harvesting accessibility. Same thing with like with water, we could have like a holistic ecosystems goal, and then water within that, habitat within that, things like that.
Okay.
Just one way to think about it also. And do you want me to scroll down so you can see the more specific?
Well, I want to just time check.
Say higher level.
I need to do a time check and say we do actually need to move on to the next content item in a moment. So I want to just double check. I want to check in with the group. And if you don't mind, just stop sharing your screen, Danny, and so we can look at each other. And just see if, you know, how do you want to take the next step with this? I feel like you've actually gotten a little bit more focus on this. And I wonder if you want to assign someone to kind of work on maybe establishing a kind of a framework around these goals, like maybe set some themes out and identify what some of those sub categories might be that are either emphases of components or strategies, as Danny just said. So how do you want to pursue the next step with this? Because I think you've got actually a lot of content to work with here. Focused content. So Ryan and Ben.
Well, I was going to build a little bit on what Danny was saying, and then maybe this helps to get at what you're asking, Robin. And that is, I tend to think that we should strive for some larger buckets for our goals, understanding that we have the opportunity to fill in strategy. And I did want to bring us back a little bit to some of the conversation we had, I think, at the last board meeting, you know, just thinking about where some of the other planning documents we have on the shelf or that we are currently creating might fit in. So I'm thinking about, for example, the 20-year strategy, the climate change carbon plan. Those are potentially kind of strategy puzzle pieces that fit into some of our goals. And so it might be sort of helpful to take the feedback that we've received here, develop some draft goals, and think about where some of those existing strategies and plans fit in underneath those, and then bring that back for discussion.
How does that sit with the board members? Thumbs up from Joe. Ben?
I was just going to call it. Mike Wilson is in the waiting area and has his hand raised. I just saw that just now.
Come in, Mike. We need to let you in. And while we're doing that, Ryan Greco, I know I don't want to put you on the spot, but any thoughts that you're having at this point, maybe being a little bit newer to this particular conversation?
Yeah. Sorry for being late, folks. But I've been listening for a little while. I really do. I think that is correct. I do think the broader goals are good, and then drilling down into the strategies. And I won't belabor that. I did have my hand raised originally just because when we're talking about water and water quantity as well, but that's a different subject. So I realize we need to move on. But yeah, I do support that, keeping the goals fairly high level, couching a lot of this in ecosystem services and dealing with it in the strategies.
Okay. Ryan?
No additional thoughts from me. I'm just appreciating hearing the conversation and getting to learn all of this conversation that's already occurred.
Okay, thank you. So should we, again, Danny's been sort of willing to kind of put pen to paper on this going forward. Do you want the staff folks to help pull together a next, like kind of a draft for you to look at your next subcommittee meeting on this piece? Brenda?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Robin, and I support that. But I would ask that that you consider adding a contextual statement at the beginning of the goals themes that indicates that these goals would contribute to resilience and accessibility, so that they all contribute to that. broader outcome.
Great. Okay, that seems to align with where people were having that conversation as well. Ben, is that accurate? Okay. All right. So I think we've got we've actually made some progress on this in the short amount of time we've had together. Appreciate people's focus. And Danny, I really appreciate you pulling together material and trying to kind of start to categorize. I think that really helped us get some focus. I'll send out notes quickly after this so people can see what we reflected. And hopefully that's the stuff that Danny and team can work on and we'll bring back for you to work a little bit more in March and have something really solid to take to the board and ET in April. So we have one more kind of time together and bite at the apple of this. And then plenty more bites after that, but this will be a good starting place for real rich conversation and deliberations in April. So moving along to the other content piece, which is the community engagement effort. Just again, want to welcome Wendy and Sarah from Oregon Kitchen Table to share with us a little bit about sort of the evolved thinking and what the plan might be. And I'll just turn it over to give you the floor. And Ryan, if there's any other intro you want to offer before that, feel free.
Well, I'll just jump in real quick and say I have not had a chance to catch up with Wendy in advance of this meeting. I apologize for that. I will try to catch you by phone here, maybe on my way back to Salem this afternoon, if you're available, so we can catch up a little bit. And Robin, I don't know where this might fit into your agenda, but I did just want to note that for the March board meeting down in Corvallis, we'll have about 15 minutes on the agenda and we'll put a staff report together that will be based around the scope of work that we've got from Oregon Kitchen Table.
We've got an agenda item on that after they
talk. I'll stop talking.
Okay. We will get to it though, Ryan. Thank you. Right. Okay. Wendy and Sarah.
Thanks, Robin. So we're super excited to be with you and excited to work with you on a broader community engagement process. So I thought what we would do this morning, since I really don't want to impose too much on your time, is to sort of show you an outline of what the process will look like and then go back and talk about places where this committee and ODF staff can and should be involved. And so we're going to ask for volunteers. So I'll show you the whole thing before we ask about volunteers. So just to sort of remind you where we are is that Oregon's Kitchen Table is a statewide community engagement organization. We were housed at PSU, we're a sister program to Oregon Consensus. And really our focus is on getting the voices of all Oregonians into public decision-making, but particularly those who haven't, you know, traditionally aren't heard from. So we really focus on communities that, that, you know, aren't going to just walk into a public meeting for whatever reason in their lives. And we'll talk about those, what that looks like and when in more detail, but that seemed to sort of be consistent with your goals. And I have a lot of thoughts about the conversation you just had about values and how they map against Oregonians. And I think we should have that conversation about what kinds of questions you do want to ask the broader public so that you can get additional thinking into your goal setting before, you know, as we move along. And I think I'll quickly say that because of the groups, the types of people that we're working with, we're really like trying to get the, you know, people that are walking in and out of the grocery store to participate. The questions are much higher level than the ones in OVBC. Like that's a professional panel. They answer questions all the time about public decision-making. So they're really good at it. And the people that we were talking to may have never been asked anything about their opinion about about a public decision. So it's much, when we talk about values, values are at multiple levels, right? And so we tend to ask at the values level that you're going to have to apply with your expertise. So sort of to Ben's point, right? Like you're like, are we logging too much? Well, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. I have no idea. like personally, whether we're logging too much. And nobody, most of the folks that we're working with don't know either. So I think that was a really good sort of piece of information for sort of like high information Oregonians. And we're not necessarily talking about high information Oregonians when we're working with the folks that we're working with. So I just sort of wanted to put that into context as we go forward. So I'm going to share my screen and show you the timeline. It's pretty broad, but just to get a sense of where we are. So to start with, in February right now, we're working to do goal setting. Like, what do you want to do with this? What do you want to accomplish? What types of information would be most valuable to you? As we see all of you moving, we see you moving along toward goals on the plan, like where is this information going to be most useful to you as we go through the process? And what kinds of questions do you have that you'd like answered? And then we start a process called community connector interviews. And those are just a series of phone interviews. We do them for two reasons. One, to sort of say, where is the decision of the agency, or the in this case of the board, and the conversations of ordinary Oregonians, where are they intersecting? So to say, how much are you talking about? What are you talking about forests in your community, or about climate change, or whatever the three or four things you want to know about? Like, how are you talking about it? Where are you talking about it? And what are you talking about? So that when you start to frame the questions, it actually intersects with people's interests. So that's, and then the other side of that is to say, where are people in your community gathering over the next few months? Are there events that we should know about that folks can show up to have conversations about this? And just to get a sense of how we can go to folks rather than having them come to us over the next few months. Those interviews will be going on. We'll be designing the engagement process along with you as those interviews proceed. To Brenda's point, we're actually working on a statewide water project right now for the integrated water strategy. So as a result, we've actually added a few questions already about this project, especially about gathering, because we felt like there's a few people we would go back to the same folks and we didn't want to interview them twice. So we wanted to just talk about forests in the context of the context of that water strategy. So that's already really underway, some of those. We'll look at that design, finalize the content, which by that we mean what questions you want answered, and then and the outreach plan. Then we go through a process of getting the materials into plain language. We actually have a plain language translator that translates all of our materials, so that people at a eighth grade reading level in English and a third grade reading level in Spanish and many other languages can understand what's being asked of them, and then translate that simplified version of the questions into multiple languages, and then we go on, then we start doing all the work in the field. And so there will be an online survey in multiple languages, events, organizing activities, going out to festivals, sitting around at, the Tillamook Interpretive Center, whatever we decide we want to do, and talking with people through June, July, and maybe, a little bit into August if there's other events that we don't want to miss. And then throughout that whole thing, we'll be starting to identify themes and perspectives that sometimes it's really important for you to know. There's a big group of people who think one thing, so that's a theme, but there are other people who think something else, and that might be a specific demographic group, and you're going to want to know that. So to look at both convergence and divergence and get that into your hands. And then once that's all finalized, again, summarize it in plain language so that it can go back to the public, go back to the community, translate it into the languages that we worked in, and post the report. We know that there are folks who actually do know a lot about forests, who are your stakeholders and constituents. And we wanted to make sure that you had a chance to discuss this content with them, And whoever that might be, it may just, you know, that group may be small and it may be big, and we can identify that as we go along. But to have some community conversations that sort of sense make in the context of your expertise of what happened in the community conversations. And then we'll add an addendum to the report that talks about that sense making, give it to you. And then the board of forestry will, you know, you'll make your decisions and go on with your life. And then start over, I suppose, at some point. And the, so I would say that the places that are, you know, really important, especially now, is we'd love to have some folks who work with us really in this February, March, April timeline. To talk about, to really help say, like, what would be helpful to you? What would you want to hear from ordinary people that would be helpful to you in making these decisions as you go along? And then we're also, it's going to be really important that we work together to identify events that are already happening, communities that we want to make sure that we reach. And so that identification process of events and activities in the for the summer will also be really important. And then, of course, at the very end, when once the report is in draft form and we have these community conversations that are really for you, I would think that you would want to attend, some folks from this committee at least would want to attend one or more of those conversations. So that's sort of the places where I think it's, you know, it's significant for the committee and maybe other members of the board and staff to participate. And then we hire lots of people to do small things, like to go work a table at a festival or go sit somewhere and interview folks. So you don't have to do that. We have a whole bunch of people who speak different languages who will do that on all of our behalf. But there will be times when it would be great to have you present, and this October place is really the biggest spot for that. So I'm going to stop sharing now so I can see you and see if you have questions or comments or reactions to any of that. Thoughts?
So this is Brenda. I will say this looks great. It looks like there's a lot of excellent information that will come from this work. I'm reflecting back on our previous discussions, and I seem to recall that the biggest value was to develop a relationship with people who are typically not heard from. I'm not sure that the information that will come from this process will. It could inform our goals if we go back and revisit those toward the end of the process and refine them based upon input from this work. But I seem to recall that the primary goal is to of your work is to develop those relationships and how and then maintain them over time.
So just to respond to that, I think that's right, Brenda, that relationship is really important. But part of that relationship is if you're asking people questions, actually being in a position to take that input seriously. So if that's not, if that, you know, isn't the case, that actually is a chance to rupture a relationship or make, so we want to make sure that there are places where that input really matters. And so that's why the framing the content really is an important place, because you're like, oh, this input really will matter to us in the X way.
And that may be even a broader conversation for the department, how this informs and plugs into other strategic initiatives and work that you're doing. And so it may actually be worth making sure that there is an executive team or two leader who's helping kind of shape those questions as well. Ryan, can you verify that?
Yeah. So kind of yes to everything. The overarching goal, you know, certainly is to develop some relationships and hopefully build on those and maintain them over time. And yes, totally agree that if we ask for input and then don't use it in a meaningful way, then we haven't probably done a good job building a relationship. And so we're going to need to make sure in our planning and our timeline that we do have the opportunity to make some course adjustments along the way based on the input that we're getting. And then the final piece is, Robin, specific to your question, I think there's a really good opportunity right now to bring into this conversation some of the other work that we're doing. And I'm thinking specifically about the 20-year strategy, but I think there might be some other areas of ongoing work where we could potentially get some input and start some conversations that would be really useful over the long term. So we'll get some staff engagement there.
Thanks, Ryan.
Other questions or thoughts for Wendy and her team about this work?
I'm really excited about it. This has been, thank you for Wendy for doing this, and thank you, Ryan and staff, for making this happen. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of it.
Yeah, we're really excited too.
And I think it's really important work, Wendy, and it will be really valuable. And we got the right organization for this. So appreciate it.
One thing I will say about the goal, you know, I know things are moving quickly toward the goals is one, because of the way that we keep track of data, we won't have a report for you in the middle, but like as themes emerge, we can get them to you. Like so if we're starting to hear things that sound a little concerning, if you're headed a certain direction, we'll just call somebody and just say, hey, you know, in some of these community conversations, we're hearing X, and that seems to be inconsistent with where you're headed. Or, you know, so even if it's not, you know, done, verifiable and written in 6 languages, we can certainly be in conversation with you throughout the process so that it can inform, you know, what you're doing as you're getting closer to the end.
Brenda?
Yeah, thank you for that. That's a really good point. And I think it would be helpful to have, and you probably already have it in that flow chart, and I just missed it, periodic check-ins with this group.
You're going to be sick of us. because we also be like, hey, is there something going on in your town that we should have somebody at? So we're in constant conversation to see how we can reach as many people as possible.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had more time, and I really appreciate the kind of the timeline overview. It's super helpful, Wendy and Sarah, just to get a kind of a picture of where you're headed with this effort. And just to put a fine point on, you know, the early stage of this up through the summer is those kind of culturally specific engagement efforts via survey events, activities that are happening sort of in various communities across landscape. So the primary ask of you for that chunk will be, you know, who specifically should we be reaching out to, just making sure that we're covering those bases. And then, you know, what events do you know of in your areas that we might be able to tap into to try to kind of reach in and have conversations with community members that we don't necessarily always connect with in our board meetings. And then the second half is those community forums in the fall. And we'll definitely want to engage you in sort of thinking about how to shape those and some attendance. So you have kind of really like active listening partners at the table in those conversations. So much more to come. Thank you, Wendy and Sarah, for taking some time with us this morning. And I think we'll quickly flash on the work plan. So Ryan, you can talk about what the next stop is with the board meeting in March. And I'll just pull this up as another visual of kind of where we're headed with this, but you'll see the blue pieces are where the community engagement efforts are going to start to weave into this FPFO process. Go ahead, Ryan.
I'll just be real quick because I know we're short on time. I already started to allude to this. I'm going to use the scope of work with Oregon Kitchen Table as the basis for a staff report for the March board meeting down in Corvallis. I think we've only got about 15 minutes on the agenda.
But really what I want to do is try to begin to at least initially frame up for the public some of the different opportunities that we have in mind for engagement around the work to develop this strategic plan. So that will include the Oregon Kitchen Table work that was just outlined, as well as opportunities through some of our more traditional channels to get input. The next really big touch point for us will be at the retreat, which is being planned for either LeGrand or possibly Enterprise. I don't know if we've quite landed on the final spot just yet, where we'll have the opportunity for more in-depth conversation between staff and the board, and also look at an opportunity for some regular public input there, I think, as well through some of our more traditional channels. I'll leave it at that because I see it's 8:30.
It is 8:30. Goes by quick. let me just check in with Mike. Is there anything else you want to share, thoughts that you're having about the community engagement work?
No, it all looks good to me.
Okay. All right. So the other crosswalk is with ET, the executive team. I just want to put a quick note on what's going on with the executive team. And Ryan's been keeping everybody informed. Mike and Ryan have been keeping everybody informed. Now we have a kind of field level staff leader in Ryan Greco, who's with us. But that group is willing, as Ryan said, to take on maybe the operational excellence goal and try to put some pen to paper on that. So that's one of the threads of work that they will provide some like startup work on. And then the other was we talked about purpose and principles, and we're going to get lost in all the terminology, but there are some other kind of high level umbrella pieces that show up that are relevant to values and values and sort of overall vision, but they're really more tethered toward that operational excellence piece. So what are some of the values, what we stand for as a department? And so I think that ET is willing to take that piece on to make sure that it also gets articulated in the FPFO as a joint document. So those are two pieces that will be coming forward, I think, from the executive team side. And meanwhile, we'll really be working, kind of concentrating the focus of the board members on the goal setting piece. And then we'll be weaving all these pieces together as we go. Just take a look at that work plan. You'll see that I sort of color coded like who's sort of maybe taken a little bit of a leadership role in those different threads, but they're all going to weave together over time. We always run out of time to look at the work plan. So we might just start with that next time just to, again, anchor everybody into the work. But I just really appreciate the focus for today and also appreciating that we're running a little bit late. So we'll have to let you go for now. And we'll see you again on March 15th. That's before or after the next board meeting, Ryan? Sorry, I'm not tracking the timing.
That'll be after the next board meeting, also after the next executive team meeting, where we do have time on the agenda to open some of those conversations.
Okay. And so then we'll be doing prep for the April retreat at the March subcommittee meeting. All right. Okay. Well, thanks for your time this morning, everybody. And we'll look forward to seeing you at the next stop.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye.